Down a few things. Larry Lynn is our preacher this morning. Now, tonight Jeremy Morton, who pastored Cross Point in Perry for a number of years, is going to be here tonight and tomorrow night. The Redeemed Trio from Southside Baptist will be here tonight to sing. And Brother Jeremy's mom is singing tomorrow night. And our choir is singing in every service. And Tuesday night, Brother Steve right here, a member of our church, is singing along with the choir. And Carly on Wednesday night with our choir. And Levi Skipper's preaching Tuesday night and Wednesday night. I'll tell you, you can't beat this lineup.
The Amen. Lord
has put it together for us to be blessed to lead us in our revival services this week. So, and also, we will have children's church for each service. So, moms and dads, remember tonight at 6 o'clock, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, we start at 6:30. I know the time has changed, as you know, last night, and so we'll get your kids out and get home to bed before late. So please be here for every service.
Hey.
Larry Wynn. I have been knowing Larry Wynn for a long time. I was 21 years of age when I became his pastor. 21 years of age. Larry was 11. I'm 10 years older. I know I don't look like it, but I'm older than Larry. And but I was blessed and honored to be his pastor when he was 11 years old, and his dad was a deacon of our church, and family was a wonderful family, and I have a lot of great members of the Wynn family. But just let me make my introduction short. To the point. If God hadn't saved Larry Wynn, he would have either been in prison or been dead. He would have. I've seen a few people in my life who was mean when they was about that age, but never any meaner than this man standing behind me. Now, that's not just preacher talk. Now, I've saved his hiney a lot of times when I wanted to help kill him too, because when he was 11 years old, he had a friend by the name of Darrell Ewing sat on the back pew, and they made faces at me, stuck up their tongue, and got all of this while I was preaching. Now, why not? I wanted to kill him back then, but that's not all. I saved his life. I helped him out of trouble a lot of times because back in my younger days, Larry can tell you, I'd call you out. If you were cutting up, I'd call you out. Hey. I'd stop my preaching and call you down to the front row. Right, Larry? But I didn't hear. I should have a lot of times. And his daddy would come up to me after service and said, David, was that Larry back there cutting up? And I'd lie to save his life. I said, no, that was not Larry. Now, he can tell you that's the truth. Now, as much as I've done for him back in those younger years, as a boy, teenager, and all of that, I want you to know that Larry has served God and served him well in his life. Larry went to Tukula, Georgia, the Hebrew Baptist Church. I don't remember exactly what year, but I'll tell you how many years he served there. The church had about 90 to 100 members. And after serving there for 30 years as pastor of people, we knew that a few years ago they had around 5,000 people in their church. God has used him in his ministry and his preaching not only there at Hebron, but he has also served president of the Georgia Baptist Convention, and he has been employed by the convention in revitalization of churches all across our state. And he's also served in our Southern Baptist Convention. And so when I was praying about this revival, I called Larry and I said, "Larry, I would like for you to start us off." And he said, "David, I'd be glad to come." And so I want you tonight, or this morning, to help me give a great big welcome to my friend, to my son in the ministry, Larry Wynn.
Thank you, Brother David. I love Brother David, and he is telling the truth. He literally saved my life. I remember that one episode that he's talking about. After church, my dad grabbed me and grabbed him. And he brought us together. And he can tell you, my dad, he's been to church here. He's passed away now, Brother David did the funeral. He was a short man, a little man, but he was a package of dynamite. And so he brought us together, and he looked him in the eye, and he said, "I want to ask you a question, and don't you lie to me." Was that Larry cutting up in the back? My dad wouldn't let me call him David. I don't know if you remember that night. It was either Brother David or Reverend Fisher at that time. And I was so scared of what was about to happen. I said, "Reverend Brother David, I am pleading for my life." And he looks me in the eye, and he looks at my dad, and he said, "It wasn't him." My dad said, "Okay." And he walks off, and he looked at me, and he said, "That's your warning right there." Now, I'm not going to tell you that I didn't talk after that, but he didn't catch me. I can tell you that because I knew what my dad would do to me. And I could go on and on and on and on with those stories because I sat under his ministry from the time I was 11 until I graduated high school, when we had moved to Snubble, Georgia, because textile mill where my mom and dad worked closed. And I remember, for those of you who are teenagers, when I was dating and had met my wife, I remember bringing her to church for the first time at Northside. And we walked out that day. David looked at me in front of her and said, "That's not the girl you had with you last week." But try to deal with that at that time. So, that's just kind of the way it went. But I want you to know there are two men in my life who were the greatest influences. Two men who, when I talk about leadership and I talk about serving the Lord and I talk about being men who spoke into my life, there are two. One is my dad and the other one is Brother David. Those are the two greatest influences in my life. And I've followed his ministry, and what is happening here today, I want you to know, is a work of God, and is not happening everywhere.
Amen.
So do not take for granted what God is doing in and through your church.
Amen.
And I know him well. So brother, when you were singing, I said to myself, "I bet you he makes him sing it again." Can't tell you the numbers of times as a teenager sitting in church and we'd have a song like that, and I'd look, he wouldn't even say anything, then he'd just do this, like, rewind it, do it again. And so I knew that was going to happen. But thank you for being here. Thank you for allowing me to be here. And I'm going to get right in the Word, but let me say this. Jeremy Morton and Levi Skipper, I know both of them very well. Jeremy, many of you already know, he's from this area. Levi, you may not know, but Levi pastored Concord Baptist Church between Gainesville and Cleveland, Georgia, until we hired him at the mission board to lead in evangelism. Levi not only had their central campus at Concord, and I'll get this wrong, but three or four other campuses scattered around North Georgia. And let me tell you, he lives, he breathes, and he preaches evangelism. Seeing people come to the cross of the Lord Amen. Jesus Christ. Jeremy Morton lives, breathes, and preaches evangelism. So I tell you that for this reason. You have family members and friends and acquaintances that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do everything you can to get them here tonight through Wednesday night. Because I will tell you, If you get a person under the preaching of God's word, the Holy Spirit will do the rest.
Amen.
So pray and reach out and bring people to hear these men preach. And there's a reason for that, and that's the message I'm going to preach today. I want you to turn in your Bible to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. And I'm going to only read one verse, but it's a verse that is absolutely filled with meaning. And today, I've not talked to your worship leader, I've not talked to your choir, but everything we sang today connects directly with the passage I'm going to read. That's a God thing. God Amen. Put the service together. So you know what that means? You're not here by accident.
Amen.
What that means is God brought you here because He has a word for you, and He's already been speaking it from the opening song to the time of the message. So in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, let me just read it. The writer says, "But God forbid that I should glory or I should boast, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Did you get that? "By whom the world has been crucified to me and I unto the world." I want to ask, in a good sense, not in a bad sense, but when you brag, when you boast, what do you boast about? In a good sense. Now, if you're a sports fan, you boast about your favorite sports team. I wonder if we have any Florida Gators in the house this morning. I thought you'd probably be home horny this morning. Do we have any Georgia Bulldogs in the house this morning? I pastored about 25 miles from Athens, and our amen was go dogs in our church. But you know what? Whether your team is Florida, Alabama, Georgia, whatever your team or some other team, if you love sports, in a good sense and in a fun sense, you brag about it. But let me tell you, I'm in another stage of life right now. What my wife and I brag about are grandchildren. Any grandchildren in the house today? Yeah. We brag about our grandchildren. You see, when I was a young pastor, Brother David, I really thought when people would come up to me and they'd say, "Can I show you pictures of my grandchildren?" And that was before phones and all that in the early days, so they couldn't just show them to me. They would open up their wallets, and I mean, they string of pictures. And here's what I thought. I'm a young pastor. I'm thinking, if you've seen one grandchild, you've seen them all. I mean, what is the big deal? And then I had grandchildren. And I'm telling you, it's a big deal. In fact, I have some slides, though I really don't this morning. But I could, because there's nothing like grandchildren. Our daughter has three. The twins are 10, and their little sister is 5. Our daughter's husband's a pastor as well. And my wife came home the other day telling me that Allie Grace, to her mom, they were riding in the car, and Allie Grace says to her mom, says, "Mommy, I want to go to Stone Mountain." You know, we're coming up on Christmas now. "I want to go to Stone Mountain." And Amanda says, "We're not going to Stone Mountain at this time. We're all too busy. Maybe later." Allie Grace from the back seat says, "God told me we're supposed to go to Stone Mountain." My daughter says, "He hasn't told me that." And a voice from the back seat goes, "Amanda, Stone Mountain." So now we have the Holy Spirit in our family in the form of a 5-year-old. But we love grandchildren. But in serious matters spiritually, when you brag, when you boast, what do you boast about? The writer of this passage is Paul. And Paul says, "There's one thing I boast about." Now you've got to understand, you've got to know Paul. You see, Paul was a very well-educated man. Paul spoke at least 3 different languages. Paul was a man, even before he met Jesus, who was very religious. He was part of the Pharisees, which were the most religious of all Judaism. Paul, as a Pharisee, had memorized the first 5 books of the Old Testament. He could quote them. But here's Paul in Galatians 6 talking. And he doesn't say, "I boast in my education." He doesn't say, "I boast in the languages I speak." He doesn't say I boast in my religion or in the ability to quote scripture. He said, when I boast about one thing, and that's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The cross. Now, the cross is central to Christianity. It is the emblem that unites all Christians. You see, churches are different today. The buildings look differently. The way people do worship is different. Preaching styles are different. But the one thing that unifies evangelical Christianity is the cross. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And by the way, folks, without the blood, there is no redemption.
Amen.
Without the blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Without the blood, there is no salvation. And without the blood, there is no heaven.
Amen.
It's all about the blood. And that's what unifies Christianity. You'll remember, many of you will, that horrible day we know as 9/11. How many of you remember exactly where you were on 9/11? I can tell you exactly where I was, exactly what I was doing. It was a day that changed America. But you remember after that horrible day, and they were beginning to remove the debris from the site, that the firefighters and those who were removing the debris came across a 2-ton, 17-foot crossbeam in the form of a Christian cross. It's called the World Trade Center cross. It's called the Ground Zero cross. And when the firefighters saw that crossbeam in the form and shape of a Christian cross, one firefighter exclaimed, "When I saw the cross, I knew there was hope."
Amen.
And I'm telling you, because there is the cross, there is hope.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, Paul said, "I boast in the cross." So what I want to do very quickly this morning is look at this. Why would a man like Paul boast in the cross? What is it about the cross? You say, "Well, Larry, I'm already a believer. Why would you go back to the elementary things of the cross?" I'll tell you why. Because, folks, if we do not once again realize that the only hope for America, the only hope for an individual who doesn't know Jesus Christ is the cross, we'll never reach out and invite them to hear the word of God.
Amen. Amen.
You see, we've gotten to a point in our country where we are so politically correct, we don't talk about being lost or saved. We don't talk about heaven or hell. We talk about people who are good and people who are bad. Folks, let me tell you, it's not good people that go to heaven and bad people that go to hell. It's people who know Jesus as Savior who go to heaven.
Amen.
It's the cross. It's the cross. When you look at the life of Paul, he said, "But God forbid that I should glory." There are two or three reasons that Paul would boast in the cross. Number one, Paul discovered what we have to discover, that it's in the cross where forgiveness is found.
Amen.
Did you hear me?
Amen.
Where forgiveness is found. Now, you look at Paul's life. You say, greatest missionary who ever lived. Absolutely. The man who was responsible for planting churches all across the known world that influenced the expansion of the gospel. Absolutely. A man who dedicated his life to preaching God's word. Absolutely. But I want to tell you, now listen to me. Paul was also a man with a past. Did you hear me? He was a man with a past. This very religious, well-educated man who could quote scripture also had a past. Now, I don't want you to answer me out loud, but I want to ask you this morning. I wonder how many people I'm talking to today. You have a past.
Amen.
You wish that you could have a do-over in life. If I could just start over. You know, when I was also a young pastor, some of the men in the church came to me and said, "Pastor, you need to learn how to relax." You see, I got my work ethic from my dad and from my pastor. And all I knew was that if you did church, you just went 110 miles an hour. And so some of the men, because I was wearing them out, said, "You need to learn how to relax." I said, "Well, what do I need to do?" And some of the men said, "You need to play golf." Let me ask you, any golfers in the house this morning, raise your hand. Well, let me tell you, brother, golf and relaxation do not fit in the same sentence. In fact, I said, okay, I'll try it. By the third hole, I was having thoughts I've not had since I got saved. I said, I got to give this up. But if you play golf, you have, if you're just playing normal daily golf, not tournament golf, you have a mulligan. And a mulligan's a do-over. If you don't make a good shot, you can get a second shot. Well, you know what? I know people who wish they could get a mulligan in line. Folks, there's not a do-over, but there's a new start.
Amen.
Paul has a past. He said, what was his past? Well, when Christianity exploded on the scene, when Jesus ascended to heaven and the church was birthed on the day of Pentecost, and those who were followers of Christ began to preach the gospel with power from place to place. There was a man named Stephen. Read his story sometime in Acts. Stephen unashamedly told people that Jesus was the only way they could have forgiveness.
Amen.
Stephen did that realizing that it could cost him his life. Stephen was arrested. His only crime, talking about Jesus. He was put on trial. He was found guilty. And Stephen was executed. They killed Stephen by stoning him to death. And if you read the passage in Acts, it says, while they were stoning him, he looked and he saw the heavens open. And he saw what was awaiting him.
Amen.
Faithful to the very end.
Hallelujah.
So what does that have to do with Paul? The Bible says that when they stoned Stephen, when they executed Stephen, there was a young man named Saul who consented to his execution. Do you know who that young man Saul is? It's Paul in Galatians. When he met Jesus, his name was changed from Saul to Paul. He said, now wait a minute. You're telling me that this man had Stephen executed. A man who was only guilty of talking about Jesus. Absolutely. You say, there is no way that man could be forgiven. Let me tell you, by man's standards, no. But by God's standards, yes. What is impossible with man is possible with God. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, listen to me, there is no sin that God will not forgive.
Amen.
I want to ask you, are you sitting here this morning and you wish that you could start over in life? You wish that you could lay down at night and not carry the guilt that you're carrying right now? Do you wish that there were some way that your past could be forgiven? I'm telling you, there is a way. It's the cross of the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Glory.
And I want you to know, there's no one in your scope of influence who is so far gone, they can't be forgiven.
Amen.
By the
Amen.
There's no one. There's no family member. There's no friend. There's no co-worker. There's no neighbor. There's nobody. Nobody. That the cross does not have the power to save.
Amen.
Paul said, I glory in the cross. Why? Because Paul realized the only hope he had for forgiveness was the cross. Listen to me. You know what Paul discovered? His religion couldn't forgive him. You see, we think if we're only a Baptist or a Methodist or a Pentecostal or a Church of God, Church of Christ, whatever, if we're only religious, then that'll get us to heaven. I'm telling you, the only forgiveness is not found in a denomination. It's not found in a church. It's found in an old rugged cross.
Amen.
Paul said, I glory in the cross. But the second thing is this. Paul said, I glory in the cross because he discovered something else. It's the only way that a person can have a relationship with God.
Amen.
Now, I want to tell you, that's controversial in today's world. More than ever, when you make the statement, Jesus is the only way, it causes difficulty. Do you agree? Amen?
Yeah. Right.
Anywhere in the state of Georgia, it doesn't matter. And I'm telling you, we have to discover what Paul discovered. Jesus is the only way.
Amen.
I want you to listen. Several verses. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. Seems right. I mean, you may be sitting here today thinking, hey, it only makes sense that it really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe.
mean, doesn't it? Aren't all the roads leading to the top, to God? The problem is, folks, we're not climbing a mountain. We're trying to get to heaven. And it does matter what you believe.
Amen.
I got invited several years ago to preach an evangelism conference in the north. I mean, like, way up in the north. Michigan north. Why a northern state would have an evangelism conference in January, I don't know. I can't stand cold weather. But I preached the conference, and afterwards, one of the pastors said to me, he said, listen, we want to show you around, and we're going to let you do something that you probably have never done before. We're going to show you a place where you can walk on water. I thought, well, I only know one who did it successfully and one more who tried. So they take me out to a lake. And it's January in Michigan. This lake is totally frozen over. They said, Pastor, just walk out. Now, let me tell you what I did. I'm standing there. So I tiptoe. Did you know if you tiptoe, you don't weigh as much? Also, if you tiptoe out of church, you're invisible. You ever see anybody leave church and they start tiptoeing? Like, you can't see me because I'm tiptoeing. So I start tiptoeing out, and they're laughing at me. They said, Pastor, it's okay. It'll hold. And you know what? It did. Well, I came back to Gwinnett County where I live, and we have Lake Lanier just north of us. If I had driven up to Lake Lanier in January, where there's a thin layer of ice around the edges, if I'd said, I believe with all my heart, I could walk out on that lake. If I had tried, you know what would have happened? Yeah. I was sunk. I'd been very cold. I believe with everything in me. The problem is, it's not the size of my belief, it's the strength of the thing in which I believe.
Right.
See, it does matter what you believe.
Amen.
The Bible says there's a way that seems right, but the end is destruction. The Bible also says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, listen, nor is there salvation in any other. Did you hear that? For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. But then the most important one of all, Jesus Himself, the one who was crucified, who gave His life that our sin could be forgiven and we could have a relationship with God. Listen to what He said. Jesus said to Him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Now listen to me this morning. No one gets to the Father
without me. Amen.
Brother David told this story at my dad's funeral service. You see, my dad, like Paul, was very religious. I never remember a time